Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
This is a different day. It's a different world. I want to give you some verses tonight and look at some verses, and maybe we can find some help out of it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read the first, five or six, seven verses tonight and give you a thought out of this. And I'll try to get done. I don't know that I'll get done, but I'll try to get done tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse number 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity, silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Go back to verse number 1. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we look into your word. I pray, God, that we would rightly divide it tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us to recall the things that we've studied today. I pray, God, that you clear our mind and our thoughts for just a little while tonight. God, may we get our mind and our thoughts focused on you. I sure do love you. Thank you, God, for the ministry tonight. God, thank you, Lord, that you've called me into it. God, thank you, Lord, for calling me to preach. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. When we come to 2 Timothy, you that knows the Bible knows that 2 Timothy is written by the apostle of Paul tonight, who was once Saul, but in Acts chapter number 9, he gets saved by the grace of God, and his name is changed to Paul, and he begins to serve the Lord. You'll know that in studying your Bible that Paul writes just about half of our New Testament tonight, and it depends on who you read after or what you think. I personally believe that he writes also the book of Hebrews, but I'm not going to argue that fact with you. But when you come to 2 Timothy, you study the timelines and everything that's going on, what he's saying, you'll find that Paul is an old man when he writes 2 Timothy. You'll find that Paul is no longer just on what we would consider today as a house arrest, but Paul is now in what we would consider a solitary confinement. He's in the inner prison. Probably when you study manners and customs out, Paul is in what we would consider a dark dungeon. And Paul is probably shackled to a guard there in that place. And Paul is just before execution. They're fixing to kill Paul for serving the Lord. And that's all that Paul is doing. Matter of fact, some 18 years Paul spends in prison just simply for serving God. And, you know, a lot of times we want to complain and say that we are being persecuted. We don't know nothing about persecution today when you look at these great men of God in days gone by. So Paul, 2 Timothy, as he writes, is an old man, more than likely, and I believe this in my study, and it is the last book that the Apostle Paul writes. Paul's at the end of his life. This is the last time we're going to hear from him. When he closes it out in chapter number 4, he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, grace be with you." Amen. And that's the last time Paul lays the pen down We don't hear anything else. You say, well, Titus is next. Well, when you study it out, Titus was written in between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. It's just not laid out in the canon of the Bible that way. Paul lays his pen down and that's it. Paul ends up dying not long after this. So these are the last words that are recorded of the Apostle Paul. You know, a lot of times those last words are words that we cherish. It's words that we go to. It's what is the last words that our loved ones said. I've heard a lot of people on their deathbed utter their last words. And you don't forget that. And here's Paul. He's talking to Timothy. And here's what he says. He says, Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I find it interesting that over 1,000 years ago, Paul is saying that the last days are on their way. Perilous times are going to come in the last days. Well, think about this with me. What does Paul mean by last days? What is he talking about? And I believe we could say several things, but to be very simple, very direct, and very in context, if you want to look at it that way, he's talking about the days just right before Jesus Christ comes back. And you know, I'll say this to you, the last days has been ever since the ascension of Jesus Christ. He says, it's expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He also says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So when Jesus ascended back into the heavens 40 days after the resurrection, then began the last days that we have been living in the last days ever since then. But I believe that Paul is saying just right before Jesus comes back, there will be, he goes on to say, perilous times. When Paul says perilous times, that's what he is referring to. Now, it's interesting as I studied this out that the Greek word for perilous here is only used one other time in our King James Bible. That's in the book of Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 28. It's not the word perilous. But if you look at the Greek words, it's the same Greek word that is used for perilous right here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And it is dealing with two men that is demon-possessed. And those men was wild. They was uncontrollable men who lived among the tombs. In other words, the last days will be fierce, violent, dangerous, and frightening times. Here's another word that you could use in the last days. It will be savage times will come as men cast off all moral restraint and society begins to disintegrate because of the perilous times. And can I just say something to you tonight? As we look at our society and we look at what's going on around us, I believe that we could say that we are living in days that are perilous times. It is perilous times. Now, two ways to look at that. If you're a lost man, you better be getting saved. And if you're a saved man, boy, things are starting to look real good. Amen. You say, well, preacher, things are looking real bad. Well, they're looking real bad for the lost, but for the saved, honey, things are starting to look real good because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. So he says in verse number 1, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. He goes into verse number 2 and begins to describe to us what those perilous times will be. Now, I want you to look at a couple of things tonight through verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, right in there. We'll just see how far the Lord takes us tonight. But I believe that we can see these men in these last days And we'll look at their deeds, their deceptions, and their denial. So look at this with me, starting in verse number 2. Is their deeds. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now watch this, verse number 5, having a form of godliness, have, in other words, James says that they're creepy crawlers in the church. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, they may look like they're one of us, but they're really not one of us. They're creepy and unawares. And I preached years ago on, you better beware of the creepers. They creep in unaware. And he's saying in the last days, there's going to be people with a form of godliness. But here's what I want to do. I want to look in these verses tonight. And I want to dissect what these words mean. And let's see their deeds and the deeds of perilous times. And let's just see, according to the Bible, are we really in the last days? Are we living in the last days? Paul says this is the way that it'll be. Now, let's just look at it tonight. Matter of fact, really, when you look at it, if you was to take, they still make these. It's one of the things that I get laughed at on Monday mornings at the sheriff's office, because I always go into the front and find the newspaper, and I'm getting old. I go to the obituaries first and read all the obituaries from the weekend, and then I look through the newspaper. But if you read the highlights of the newspapers today, boy, it really lines up with what we're fixing to look at. If you listen to the news today, Brother Josh, it really lines up with what we're looking at. Well, let's just start. The Bible said this in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own self. Lovers of self, selfish, intent on one's own interest. Are we living in a selfish society? Well, the Bible said this in Philippians chapter number 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Nothing is more important to some people than themselves. Can I say that again? Nothing is more important to some people than themselves. These people feel as if the world revolves around them and them alone. They are literally setting themselves up as their own little God in their life. Now, somebody help me tonight and we'll get done. When love for self is elevated, love for God and all others around you is lowered. Every one of these characteristics Paul names from here on out is all a result of this very first thing. They are lovers of themselves. And I want to say this to you tonight. We're living in a society that is lovers of self. That is lovers of self, man. It's all about them. Everything in their life is all about them. It's all about what's convenient to them. It's all about what makes them happy. It's all about what makes them look good. As long as they are the limelight, as long as they get to sing the special, as long as they get to stand in the front. You know, I'm always leery of that person that stands up to testify, but they got to walk up in the front to testify. Everybody all right there? I ain't never seen nobody here do that, so y'all all might as well say amen. But I'm always leery of that. Why you got to walk up front? It's because it got to be the center, man. They want everybody to know about them. He said, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times will go. What is this? what is the perilous times? He said, well, here's the way it's going to be. They're going to be lovers of self. In other words, they're going to be selfish. But watch this. We got to move or we'll be here till midnight. He goes on to say covetous. Their covetousness. I thought about this whenever you study that word out. It simply means lovers of money. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Man, they are lovers of money. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. Please don't nobody get sideways with me, okay? But I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I am thankful that we have some people that works on Sundays. You can say amen right there, because if you fall over with a heart attack Sunday morning in our church, you're going to be thankful that somebody comes here and gives you some medication and gets you to the hospital. Are you with me? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I was in the hospital, on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, that I had somebody in the hospital to take care of me. I'm glad that Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, they didn't tuck me in and say, we'll see you Sunday or we'll see you Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Are you with? I'm thankful for that. And I understand that there's been times that Brother Matt's called me on Sunday morning on his way to church and said, hey, preacher, I'm sorry, we've had an emergency come in at work. I've got to get people going in the right direction. I might be a minute late getting in my Sunday school class. I understand that. Brother Josh works for the state. There's times that he gets called out and has to work on a Sunday. I understand that. Are you with me? I understand that. But I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. If you sign up to work Sunday when you're not supposed to work Sunday just because you're going to get more money working Sunday. Everybody okay tonight? Are you with me? What has it become? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? It's a covetous. It's we're lovers of money. Boy, you look at society today, man. You look at society today. Let's go on. He says, it's already quiet and we're not even out of verse 2. I'm just showing you what the Bible's saying in last days. Just before Jesus comes back, church, this is the way it's going to be. Look what he says. He says that there'll be boasters. Be boasters, empty pretenders. One said it this way, windbags. They brag about what they have and they have done, set themselves up as the be-all and end-all and know-all of everybody and every life that's ever been. They're boasters. There's some people, if you don't believe that they're good at something, then just ask them. They'll tell you, have you ever met anybody like that, Brother Josh? They'll tell you just how good they are at what they do. What are their boasters? Well, he goes on to say proud. Proud. An overestimate of oneself or one's worth. The Bible said this in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth for destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We are nothing without him. Here's what he said in John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Man, we've got to have God tonight. There's so many churches today that they've got it figured out how to do everything. I don't have nothing figured out, man. We've got to have the help of God. There's so many today that they are so proud of themselves. They are so arrogant. They are so prideful. One thing that just absolutely, absolutely drives me crazy is the self-promotion of preachers today. The self-promotion of it. I'm going to tell you something. If you do anything that you do for any other reason than getting the gospel out, then it's wrong. Then it's wrong. I'm going to get in trouble right here, but that's all right because it don't apply to nobody in here, so y'all might as well holler amen. I see people, these preachers sometimes post, and they'll say, now I have these open dates to come minister. You hear me and hear me well. If God wants me to preach somewhere, he'll put me there. I don't have to get on Facebook and say I have open dates. God knows my date book, and if God wants me to preach somewhere, God will give me an opportunity to preach there, amen. They're proud, man. They're prideful. And pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. We better never forget that we was nothing but lowly sinners headed to hell when God found us. And it's by his grace that we are what we are today. So proud. Man, they're proud. Not only preachers today, but boy, there's a lot of people in society today that struggle with this pride thing. You with me? Watch this. He goes on to talk about this. Blasphemers. Are we living in the last days? Is this here? Blasphemers giving to defiant or bitter words. These are they who speak evil of God, his children, and his work. Have you considered the rise of church and God haters in our society today? Why is this true? Here's the reason why. Because men have lost all respect for God, themselves, and their fellow man. They think nothing of using their tongue to speak evil against everyone else and everything else and destroying everything else. They're blasphemers, man. They're blasphemers. You know, some people, they can't even talk without taking God's name in vain. They're blasphemers today. And he says, hey, look, in the last days, in perilous times, there'll be blasphemers. He goes on to say this. We're just walking right. I hope this is all right just to use the Bible tonight and look at the Bible. Amen. He said, the last days, what about this one? They'll be disobedient to parents. I'm telling you right now, what some of the kids even around here needs every once in a while, and you can get mad at me if you want to, but what they need every once in a while, they need about a week at Jan Barker's boot camp. They wouldn't make it. I'm telling you, they wouldn't make it. My mama taught me and my daddy taught me to be obedient. My mama taught me when an adult said, hush, you better hush. And she taught me if I got in trouble at Sunday school, everybody listen to what I'm fixing to say. If I got in trouble at Sunday school or we had proteins, if I got in trouble at Sunday school or proteins, I got in trouble at the house. Mama didn't go to the teacher. Everybody okay right now? Everybody still listening to the... Mama didn't go to the teacher and go, now, are you sure Jonathan done that? No, mama took the word of that adult and taught me that I respected that adult and didn't question that adult. And mama just dealt with me at the house. And I guess mama figured that if the adult was wrong, that's between them and God. And there was one time that the adult was wrong and my mama beat the devil out of me. I still got bitterness towards Linda Limeberry over that. And if she's watching tonight, I love you, but I'm still bitter over that. She set me outside the Sunday school room one day because Matt Allen was messing around, and he was sitting beside of me, and he messed around during prayer. And when they said amen, she said, Jonathan. And I said, no, it wasn't Jonathan. She set me out in the hall, and my mama come walk. My mama was backslid that day and didn't go to Sunday school. And come walking down the hall, and I was sitting in the hall, and Miss Lisa, she took me to the parsonage beside the church, and I'm telling you, she beat the devil out of me over there in that parsonage. And when we got back, he got in me because I got a hold of Matt and tried to beat the devil out of him. But you know what? Mama didn't question Miss Linda. Mama taught me to respect them because she respected them. Today's society, man, I'm telling you something. When you say something to somebody's kid and then they go home and say, or you say something to the parent anymore, it's this. Well, are you sure it was them? They've never done anything like that before. I don't believe that they would do anything. You know what you're doing? You're teaching your kid to disrespect authority. We're living in a day today that they are disobedient to parents. I thought about this. The Bible said in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm going to tell you something. The day's going to come when you're going to grow out of your parents' home. So he added verse number 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's not just an obeying. I'm out of my mom and daddy's house. I'm a grown man, but I am still commanded by God to honor my parents. And I want to say this to you teenagers sitting in here tonight. When you obey, you can obey without honoring. You can obey without honoring. Addie, take the trash out. Get this trash, take the trash out. Why did Dad take the trash out? You may have obeyed, but you didn't honor. That's good preaching. Am I right, Brother Josh? You have obeyed, but you've not honored. And I'm going to tell you something, man. He said perilous times are coming. The last days are coming. Well, are we there? Man, disobedience to parents' discipline has gone out the window. If children will not respect and obey their parents, then who will they respect? If you're not going to teach them to respect you, you're not going to make them listen to you. You're not going to make them obey you and respect you and be loyal in your home. Why do you expect that they're going to respect anybody else in society today? A lot of times it goes back to their upbringing. Now I understand kids can just go plumb stupid. That's a Ryan Hayes word, stupid. I understand that. But, he said, you train them up the way they should go and they'll never depart from it. Another word, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. That don't give me a promise that they'll always be in church serving God. That gives me a promise that they'll never forget what I taught them. Disobedience to parents. What about this? He goes on to say this as we go down through this. Man, we're just at the end of verse number 2, and it's 7:51. He said they would be unthankful. Unthankful. No sense of gratitude for anything they possess. We're living in a society today that thinks they're just owed everything. They think they're just owed everything. Monday mornings and Wednesday mornings, I always go by the sheriff's office. I didn't today. The phone company was here putting new phones in and different things, and then I had several people that was coming to talk to me today. But I was sitting in there the other morning, and one of the supervisors walked in and sat down in my office and said, I said, you having a good morning? And they spoke up and said, I don't understand this generation. This was an older supervisor. I said, what do you mean? And they said, they think that they are owed everything. They think you're supposed to just, when a young person turns 16 today, they think they're just supposed to get a brand new vehicle. I'm just supposed to have that. You're supposed to buy it. You're supposed to pay the insurance on it. You're supposed to pay the gas on it. And when I mess it up, you're supposed to pay for it. Well, whoever taught them that? Whoever taught them that? A lot of times it's a break. Well, I'm gonna move. It's a breakdown in the home because we allow them to think that, and then we feed their selfish desire. Everybody okay tonight? And because of that, it has created a society of unthankfulness. 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 I want to ask you something tonight. How many of you sitting in here, adults and kids alike, told the Sunday school teacher Sunday morning you enjoyed the lesson? Thank you for studying. Thank you for preparing. We're an unthankful society. Well, no, I come to Sunday school. They were supposed to do that. Yes, you're right. They are supposed to do that. But two little words go a long ways. Thank you. I texted Brother Matt and Miss Manny the other night, and I said, I'm the world's worst not to tell people thank you, and I'm sorry. I said, but I just want to say thank you for the past few months of all your hard work putting it into the music at the church. I just want you to know I appreciate that. And you know what? They would have kept doing what they're doing. I have no doubt about that. And they may say, well, that didn't mean much. But really deep down inside of us, we got this little conscience and we got these little emotions. And it does kindly help us when somebody says thank you. But we're living in a society today that is so unthankful, man. They're so unthankful. It's you know, you set the supper down on the table and it's, well, why ain't this here? And they eat and they jump up and run off and they never set the plate over at the sink and say, hey, I appreciate the meal today. Is everybody okay? So are we living in the last days? He said perilous times are coming. This is what it's going to be like. And then he goes on to say this. I got to hurry. Unholy. That's wicked. That's just simply what that is. The word means profane. Unholy, man. I never dreamed. I talked to a preacher this week that was dealing with some things. And when he told me what he was dealing with, I'm talking about people in the church, leaders in the church that he was having to deal with. And I told him, I said, what has happened today? There is, and I'll get to this in just a second, there's no fear of God. There's no holiness anymore. There's no holiness anymore. There's no respect anymore for the house of God and the things of God. It's an unholy society. He goes on to say, without natural affection, describes a breakdown of the family. There's a loss in love of those who we ought to love and those that are dear to us. Abandonment, abuse, abortion, infidelity. All the natural loves will be lost in the desire to fulfill the most perverted of human excuses today. Who would have ever dreamed? Who would have ever dreamed that they would be open marriages? Who would have ever dreamed that they would be swingers? Let me tell you the reason why. Without natural affection. Without natural affection, it goes on to say, truce breakers. This refers to those who will not keep their promises. A man's word is no longer his bond. My daddy told me, he said, if you tell a man something, that's your bond, man. If you tell him, that's it. If you don't have your word, you don't have nothing. Right. Truce breakers, false accusers, slanderers. These people do everything in their power to destroy the good name and reputation of another. Just simply because, well, I might as well say it, just simply because they didn't get their way, because they were selfish. And because it didn't go their way and things didn't go the way they think it should be, you know what they do? They do everything in their power to tear everybody else down, to ruin everybody else's name. And because you didn't do something just the way they wanted it done, they're going to come after your character, your integrity. They're going to hide behind a keyboard. Hey, look up in here just a minute and we'll get done. If you can't say it to my face, don't text it. Be a man. Everybody all right? Texting and emailing is one of the worst things that's hit us because you'll say so many things on that little, those little thumb warriors. And what happens is you don't have time now to think about what you're fixing to say. You just grab your phone or your device and send it. Where before when you heard something, you had to pick up the phone and call somebody or you had to go meet somebody in person and it give you a minute to think about what you was fixing to do. Are you with me? They're false accusers, man. They're slanderers. They try their best to destroy people. They're incontinent without self-control is what that means, or the ability to discipline one's life. They're incontinent. They don't have self-control. Some says this, I'm just saying, are we living in the last days? He said this is the way it's going to be right before Jesus comes back. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, preacher, that's just me. That's just me. I just have a problem with my mouth sometimes, and that's just me. That's just me. No, you're incontinent. You don't have self-control. You see, when I got saved, God made me a new man. God put the Holy Spirit. Everybody all right tonight? I might just preach a while. God put the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, I am to yield to Him instead of yielding to myself. You see, that is temptation that you're facing to say those things. And the Bible says this, that with every temptation, God hath made a way of escape. But you choose to say, well, this is just the way I was born. It makes me just as sick to hear somebody say that. When it's talking about things like this, as it does to hear somebody say it when they was born a sodomite. I'm just being honest with you tonight. He said they're incarnate. They don't have no self-control. What about this? Fierce, untamed, savage, brutal. People will be controlled by their instincts. We're seeing a trend in this direction in our society, man. Brutal. Brutal. I'm not going to go into all that, but I'm going to tell you something. When you can, take the life of an innocent child that doesn't even have a choice in the matter, but God did and God allowed them to be formed in the womb. That's a savage. That's a savage. God don't make mistakes. Well, preacher, it was a mistake. God don't make mistakes. You might make a mistake, but God don't make mistakes by allowing a child to be born. They're fierce, man. Despisers of those that are good. Goes on to say that. And those who take a stand along biblical values today, we're hated. We are so hated today by so many. Why? Just because we stand for what's right. Traitors. People who betray others and break friendships just to get their way. These people will lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll crush anyone who dares to get in their way. Basically, people will possess no loyalty except to themselves. Traitors. Are we living in these days? Heady, it's reckless, rash, acting without reasonable thought. It's high-minded. Those who are puffed up with a false sense of their own self-importance. High-minded. You know, I want to look at, will you come up here, Miss Courtney, yeah, and start playing something. Sometimes I want to look at Pharisees. It's high-minded. You with me right here? Now that they're saved, they're better than everybody else. Boy, I don't know why it's so tight right now. They're high-minded, man. They think they're better than everybody else. Can I just say something? Some of y'all sitting in here tonight with a King James Bible in your hand, that when you walked in here the first time, you didn't have one in your hand. So may we remember where we used to be before we go to judging everybody else. May we just remember who we was before we got saved and the things that you done before you got saved. You know what? Not everybody's going to have the same standard I have. Not everybody's going to have the same standard that you have. That don't mean that they're lost and going to hell and they're not a good person. I'm telling you, we're raising some that is so high-minded today. They think they're better than everybody else. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes God want to puke. Jesus didn't look at that woman at the well and judge her. He didn't look at Zacchaeus and judge him. I'm all for having a standard, you know that. But I'm all for also remembering where we used to be and what God's brought us from. And just because somebody's got a standard or somebody don't have a standard that I have, don't mean that they're a bad person. Don't mean that they're wicked and vile. Amen. They're high-minded. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you get those people that's real high-minded, it goes on over there, Brother Matt, about verse number 5, having a form of godliness, denying the power therein. Because a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. I've said this before. You study when Jesus rebuked people. You know who it was? It was the high-minded. It was the Pharisee. That's who it was. He went in and turned those money tables over. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, you speak well of me with your mouth, but your heart's as far from me. He was talking to that crowd that was high-minded and had a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. He said, in the last days, this is going to come. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Hey, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with spending time with your family. There's nothing wrong with getting away every once in a while. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoyed last week spending time with my family. But can I tell you something? When it takes you out of church 3 out of 4 Sundays, you're a lover of pleasure, not a lover of God. Let me tell you one of the worst things that hit in 2020 and become a fad in 2020. Let me tell you one thing that took more people out of church over the past 2 or 3 years than travel ball has. Campers. I said it. I've already said it. There's nothing wrong with one. But look, if you got to stay in one 3 Sundays out of the year, hey, if my life was that bad, I'd be changing jobs. Are you with me? I'd be finding something else, Hoss. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm telling you, we're living in a society today, man, they love pleasure more than they love God. They love being on the lake Sunday more than they love God. They love being in a hunting stand during hunting season more than they love God. There's nothing wrong with going to a hunting stand. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with sitting on Tuesday evening after dark and it raining outside when you got a good friend that's got a big shop and you go over there and raise the doors in it, shoot your bow inside. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? There's something wrong with it if Sunday morning at 11 o'clock I'm laid up over there doing it. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And here's what he's saying to us. This is their deeds. Then there's their deception. We'll look at that next Wednesday night. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, church, in the last days, this is the way it's going to be. Perilous times is going to come. What is perilous times? It's what he describes to us. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are we in perilous times? The truth of the matter is this. Yes, we are. And the truth of the matter is this. Jesus is coming. He's coming real fast. And the truth of the matter is this, if we've ever done anything for him, we better get busy. We better get busy. If we've ever given our all for him, we better get busy because he's coming. If we got family members that's lost, hey, we better get them to Jesus. I didn't say save them. But I can get them to Jesus. Hey, when they took that man sick of the palsy, born by 4, they couldn't get him up off the bed. They couldn't make him walk. They couldn't make him take up his bed and leave. But you know what they could do? They could get him to somebody that could. And you know what? I can't forgive them of their sins and I can't save them. But you know what I can do? I can get them to Jesus. And when I get them to him, the rest is up to him. Boy, we better do it. We're in the last days. We better do it. Father is...